Howdy, and welcome back to Leave the Swamp, the Secession Podcast. Mal here. I'm happy to be back with you guys. I know it's kind of been a while since my last transmission. Apologies for that, but you know, life happens, and here we are. I'm glad you've joined, and you know, I hope by you listening, you know, you've thought about and thought maybe it is something I ought to do. Maybe I should join the cause for a peaceful and friendly separation, seeing as how a lot of things are seemingly going down the hill pretty quickly right now. I don't know about you, but I've started to notice the price inflation in everyday goods actually really rearing its head right now. Some I don't really see that subsiding much at all, seeing as how they being, you know, the federal government through its central bank proxy, the Federal Reserve, has created, oh, I don't know, what's it about, $4.5 trillion since the beginning of 2020, so in 2 years. So they've essentially created, I think, what, 45% of all the US dollar currency that has been created in the history of the US dollar, or at least since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913. You know, there's no way that can't trickle into causing rising prices, you know, in the economy. One thing I just want to clarify out there for folks, whenever you hear people use the word inflation, most of the time they're talking about prices, rising prices. But truly what we're experiencing right now is the effect of inflation. What do you mean by that, Mal? Well, what I mean by that is inflation is when the money is created originally in the first place. And, you know, over the last probably 20 years or so, a lot of that inflation has gone towards financial assets. You know, it's gone to Wall Street, pumping up the stock market. It's gone into real estate. So a lot of that inflation, through the mechanism of creating that currency, that lowered interest rates in the economy. And when that happened, that generated a lot of demand for, you know, real estate. So lowering of interest rates, creating demand for purchasing real estate, drives up real estate prices. And of course, the lower the interest rate, the more real estate you can buy. As interest rates rise, the less you can afford because that payment will be much higher. That's what we're seeing now is a quickly slowing residential and commercial real estate market because of the interest rates are rising. So essentially, the Federal Reserve is on a suicide path now to destroy itself and all of us by raising interest rates. Of course, I would argue that that has been baked into the cake for a long time now, that now we're just realizing the destruction. You know, the Federal Reserve has enabled the federal government to grow exponentially and, you know, do all the damn stuff it does, curtailing our freedoms, and, you know, throwing the military weight around the world, acting like they can tell everyone else what to do in our names, and, you know, just general egregious spending at all levels of government. You know, this Federal Reserve is the primary facilitator of the ability of government to spend money like it does now without taxing us. Now, yes, we do file taxes and we do pay taxes, but you got to understand the taxes that we pay are the theft that we have to essentially agree to and put up with from the government. That goes to pay interest on the debt and just a little bit of federal spending, not much. So everything else is financed through the government borrowing money. And the Federal Reserve essentially enables the government to borrow the money that it wants to borrow. if the Federal Reserve didn't exist, or even if it did, but we were still on a commodity standard, like a gold standard, that would have limited the amount of money the government could borrow. And it would basically be forced with having to tax its citizens more in order to pay for its borrowings. And essentially, if that were to be the case, you got to look at our taxes would probably be at least double what we're paying right now just to pay for the federal government, possibly. That would never work. It wouldn't be sustainable because we'd basically have no economy at that point. No one would have any money to do anything or any incentive to do anything because basically all their income would go to the government. Oh, what it, that sounds very familiar. It's like a system that starts with a C. See, what could that be? Or communism? Yeah, something like that. It's where the government basically owns everything. Or maybe we can more accurately compare it to that system of government that we're closer to right now, starting with an F. What system is that? Ah, yes, fascism. Where, yes, private ownership is still allowed. However, government pretty much controls the means of production, basically socializes, losses in the name of the people, allows some profits to be held by the owners, but essentially controls, what the government, what the co corporations do. And it's kind of vice versa, I guess. The corporations have a stranglehold on the government, so they like to be regulated so that it keeps out competition, because new competition has a much harder time abiding by regulations, whereas larger, more established corporations have the capacity to handle onerous regulations. But I digress. I want to get back to this, what's going on with in the economy and in this inflation. I'm telling you, it's gonna be a bad thing, and it really seems like people still feel like, it may turn around. The Fed may break the back of inflation. We may go back to the way things were. Just unfortunately, I don't see that happening. This seems to be something that's been baked in the cake for a long time, and we have to hit our reckoning about, to deal with it, basically. If you look back on 19, what was it, 1980 or 79, 80, there was inflation, the measurements, more or less, where, like, if you were to look at the inflation rate now compared to then, it's about at or above what it was then. And the difference then was the United States, the Federal Reserve ended up raising interest rates to 15, 19% to stop that inflation because interest rates had been negative, and real interest rates had been negative for so long that they had to raise rates higher than the rate of inflation in order to stem that tide. Well, right now, if we're saying rates, real rates are as negative as they were back then, and the Fed raising rates a paltry, up to maybe, what is it, 1% right now, I mean, we're a long way away from raising nominal rates, the rates you see, high enough and above the actual rate of inflation in order to stem this tide. I mean, if they were to raise from 1% to 15 or, 19% like back then, like 40 years ago, I mean, we might as well go back to the Stone Age. I mean, everything would collapse. The whole system would collapse. The dollar would collapse. If that happened, the federal government collapses. So I don't know. What I see happening is maybe a little bit longer. They'll allow it to go on, get a little more pain in the system, and then they're going to go back down and lower rates again. And we're going to have all sorts of government programs and subsidies and whatnot to try to get us back to, what they thought that where we were. But what's going to happen is they're going to do it at a time when the perceived or the seen inflation is now beyond Wall Street and real estate, which people perceive as being a good thing. And it's now like an everyday, mainstream goods and services that we pay for. So it's going to be, that's going to be probably the stepping off point for runaway inflation and scary times for that kind of stuff. So, what can you do? Well, let me go back to, what is this podcast? This is a secession podcast. Basically, everything I'm describing right now is because our monetary policy has been centralized in Washington, D.C., Mordor, via the Federal Reserve, and they've royally screwed up everything. Basically, essentially destroying the dollar, breaking its ties to, the real money, gold, and subsidizing and facilitating the massive growth of this federal government that is so far out of control now. I mean, there's no way that anyone going to the federal government can actually ever make any kind of change. The only way to possibly stem the tide of what's coming economically would be decentralization, would be smaller groups saying, we cannot convince everybody of what needs to happen. All we can do is take care of ourselves. Let's rein things back and try to pave a more optimistic and better future without being weighed down and held down by horrible decisions of the past and horrible policies of the current time right now that we can't change and we're pretty sure are going to continue into the future. That's kind of the thinking that we should have right now is we've got to decentralize what's going on. And the most kind of, as I talk about on this podcast, the most obvious and probably cleanest solution is for states, a state, I would prefer my home state of Texas, to say, sayonara, we're going on our own, federal government and 49 other states. We're going to watch our house on our own. We're going to take care of our own shit. And, you guys can figure it out on your own. There's absolutely no reason why a state like Texas could not w and should not do that. Let's see, I'm looking up here. I think it's top 10 world. Let's see. I'm just curious. Not that this really matters, but yeah, Texas, if it were to be a nation on its own, would be the ninth largest economy in the world by GDP. The ninth largest. So I'm pretty sure we'd have enough capacity, internal capacity to take care of ourselves and become our own country. I threw it out here. So I had an amazing conversation with a new friend of mine. That's an old friend of my wife's growing up at, it doesn't really matter where we were, but we were talking and man, we got off talking about all this stuff and we're all totally on the same page. And that really kind of fired me up to get back into talking about this stuff on this podcast. I kind of got to a point where I was wondering like, well, are there any other folks out there that really have thought this through and believe that secession is actually the most viable alternative, or not alternative, most viable path forward, so that we're not dragged down by the dead weight of the U.S. federal government when it officially and actually dies, which we will be dragged down if we're not, if we're still part of it. As I thought, are there any folks out there? How many are there? I mean, how many people can I actually recruit to be part of the 300? And if you don't know what that is, go to leavetheswamp.com and check it out. It's the just to just real quick, there's about 30 million people in Texas. And again, remember, this podcast focuses on Texas because that's where I live, but the principles discussed here can be applied anywhere, really. But the 300 really refers to, there's 30 million people here. What's 1% of 30 million people? If I'm doing my math right, it's 300,000 people. And I believe 1% of dedicated, hardcore believers, true believers, can affect change here, can actually possibly make something like that happen. Because of that 300,000, if each one of them, recruits 10 people, well, there you go. We're back up to 3 million people. And that's enough to really get the ball rolling, right? So 300,000 would get us on the map, get the idea really on the map, maybe make some headway with some folks, get them elected, so that they have a bully pulpit, if you will, to discuss these things and constantly talk about why we need to go off on our own and stop being weighed down, chained down by the federal government. Why Texas, within 10 years, 5 to 10 years of actually seceding and doing things right after that, would be the number one economy in the world, not number nine. And we'd leave the rest of the other 49 states in the dust if they chose not to either join us or do something similar. But we can do it. And anyway, this conversation I had really got me fired up again to say, okay, yeah, yes, there probably are 300 out there, 300,000 Texans out there that, if they're not now, would be true hardcore believers in a sovereign and independent Texas. So keep that in mind when you're talking to folks. Ask them if they want to, if they're part of the 300. But anyway, we got to talking, and yes, there are folks out there that truly understand that this is the only way to go. The qu only question is, how do we organize without, in the era of deplatforming and, the woke mobness of being branded, with all the names in the books? Not that I really care if these idiots, throw names at me or the movement, because they're idiots, basically. But no, I mean, just think about it. You're not alone. I'm gonna get into a lot more of the dissecting. What does it mean, and what would it be like if we actually did secede? How hard would it be? Sure, I think there would be a lot of difficulty at first. I mean, when you, I haven't. And I don't ever plan on going through a divorce. I love my wife, so hopefully, we'll never get to that point. But as I understand it, they can be messy, right? Over a period of time, assets have been commingled, and you have lives that are together and all this type of stuff. And when you divorce, it's messy to kind of divide all that stuff out. But that can be done peacefully. Absolutely, it can be done peacefully if we decide to do it. And we say, Washington, Mordor, we're out. Let's sit down at the table and talk about all this stuff. Let's talk about what we need to divide up, what are the things we can still partner on. There's treaties, things of this nature we can make. Let's have a peaceful, like I say on the podcast, a peaceful and friendly separation. It is possible. It absolutely is possible. No wars or conflicts are required to achieve this. In fact, it would be an utter failure if there was. It would not be initiated from our perspective. If we were leaving, we as in Texas left, it would be us saying, nice knowing you, but we're going to go our own way. The conflict would only ever be initiated by the other side, by Mordor, DC, coming at us, because they would obviously, and I would not be surprised. The U.S. is the United States is an empire now, and it likes to retain its conquered territories. And if you think about it, Texas is a conquered territory still. I won't dive into that, but then empires don't want to lose their conquered territory. They don't want to lose their tax basis, all that stuff, the power it gets by having, say, all this natural resources within the United States. All those type of things. So it would be messy. It would be a messy divorce, but it's something that is it's the only way. It is absolutely the only way that we could possibly stem the tide at this point and give the people of Texas the opportunity to not be dragged down into the depths of the volcano along with the United States federal government, which again, it will drag us all the way down if we stay with it. So along those lines, stay tuned for some future missives when I, I'm going to get into the mechanics of separation. And so what I've done is I actually found a book where this guy has actually done a, I think, probably a fair analysis of the mechanics of secession, or Texit as he calls it. That's the name of the book. So in future episodes, what I want to do is myself dissect his dissection or his plan of how to secede. It's that whole concept of why reinvent the wheel. If someone's already laid out the roadmap, well, let's take a look at it, see where we agree or where we disagree, and go down the line. So I will be giving you guys a kind of my view, my overview, not or just my analysis of the roadmap that he puts forward. And I think that'll be a kind of an interesting series that we can explore together on the podcast. I'll just leave all of you guys with this. Just keep your heads up. Keep doing what you're doing to take care of yourself and your family. You don't want to be a burden on anyone else, or especially on the government, which is everybody else, a burden on everybody else. Your number one imperative is to do what you can to take care of yourself and be independent, be able to live independently. So I encourage everybody to assess where they are, and if you have any kind of desire or ability or desire, or have ever thought about maybe trying to start a business or something like that, do it. Take control of your future, or continue to grow and learn new skills within whatever job you're in. Make yourself extremely valuable so that we're all taking care of ourselves. Right, none of us are mooching on other people or on the public tit, which is mooching on everybody's tit. That's not what any of us should be doing. We all need to take care of ourselves. That way we can, if we have that covered, then we can devote the extra time towards fighting towards, this cause for a peaceful and friendly separation, which again is the only way forward. There is no other way forward. There's no other viable way forward. If we don't do this, then everything else we try to do will be for naught, because it's set in stone the path of what's going to happen to the United States and the United States federal government. It will go bankrupt, the empire will collapse, and Texas will be drawn down with it. And we have to do everything in our power to prevent that from happening. So I implore you to be one of the 300. Go over to leavetheswamp.com. Shoot over your email address on the form there to tell me how you're joining the 300, and let's get together and make it happen. It's a tall order. We'll be laughed at for a long time, but we'll eventually win. So with that, everyone out there, take care of yourself and your families, and I'll talk to you on the next one. Thank you.